ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Avishmitam, who is never struck with wonder. Tam, him. Paripurnakamam, who is fully satisfied. Svena, by his own. Eva, indeed. Labhena, achievements. Samam, equal poise. Vasantam, very steady. Vina, without. Upasarapati, approaches. Aparam, another. He, indeed. Balisha, a fool. Shva, of a dog. Langulena, by the tail. Atititarti,
wants to cross.
Sindhum, the sea. Free from all material conceptions of existence, and never wonderstruck by anything, the Lord is always jubilant and fully satisfied by His own spiritual perfection. He has no material designations, and therefore He is steady and unattached. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only shelter of everyone. Anyone desiring to be protected by others is certainly a great fool who desires to cross the sea by holding the tail of a dog. Purport. A dog can swim in the water, but if a dog dives in the ocean and someone wants to cross the ocean by holding the dog's tail, he is certainly fool number one. A dog cannot cross the ocean, nor can a person cross the ocean by catching a dog's tail. Similarly, one who desires to cross the ocean of nations should not seek the shelter of any demigod or anyone else but the fearless shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.58 therefore says, Samasrita ye parapalava plavam mahatparam punya yasho murarehe bhavam bhudhir vatsa param yat viparam adhesham. The Lord's lotus feet are an indestructible boat, and if one takes shelter of that boat, he can easily cross the ocean of nations. Consequently, there are no dangers for a devotee, although he lives within this material world, which is full of dangers at every step. One should seek the shelter of the all-powerful instead of trying to be protected by one's own concocted ideas. So we see here the demigods, now they are surrendering to the Supreme Lord, and they are asking from him protection. So, but we see in the previous verses that this was not their immediate reaction. Their immediate reaction when they saw Vritasura, because they came forward with their own prowess and their own weapons. And then, only after being defeated by that, by him, whatever they tried didn't work, then they became afraid. They were already afraid, but now they became more afraid. So then they decided, now it is time to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So we see as long as they were trying to follow their own concocted ideas, then they were unsuccessful. And they were subject to the miseries of the material world. But as soon as one takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, then all those miseries go away. Because whatever is there in the material world is not actually a real disturbance. It may be a disturbance to the body, to the mind, but actually, nothing can actually disturb the devotee. Because the devotee being situated or fixed on the Supreme Lord, then is undisturbed by all these things. Because whatever happens, it will actually just be for the benefit of their own spiritual advancement, nothing more. Because it won't be in any other way. Only as long as we have material desires and we hold on to those very strongly, then there will be, the anxieties will be very great for us. But as soon as that is given up and we simply take shelter of the Supreme Lord, then those anxieties disappear because they don't exist. We see here the qualities. Means holding on to our own ideas are considered very minor, very meager. The example being here that of a dog. The dog has some capability. You know, they are mobile. They can swim, right? And so then they will move in their own way. They will try to cross something. They get in the water, they cross. So something small, okay, maybe one's own ideas has some little bit of, you know, ability. But, I mean, you think about it. You want to get across from here to Namadwi. So then we you know, catch the local dog, you know, like that, you know. The dog's leaving at 4 o'clock, so you got to be there in time to catch the dog. So our own ideas then are not considered that great. So when the only one is in connection with the Supreme Lord, then it becomes something special. Then it becomes the indestructible boat. Because the whole process, how to live in the material world itself, how to live in the material world, how to conduct oneself in the material world, that is all coming from the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord has entered everything. And in this way, then, one is able to then cross this material ocean. Because we are following the Lord's plan. That is very essential. See, our own plan has no real meaning. The demigods just saw Ritasura, they became afraid, they started fighting. They were thinking, okay, here's a demon. And as the representatives of the Lord in this material world, we're supposed to make things go nicely for everybody. And so therefore it is our duty to come forward and try to defend the universe against such, you know, obnoxious elements. And, you know, by the grace of the Lord, then we'll be successful. This was not their thinking. They just saw Ritasura. They became afraid for their own positions and lives and started fighting. And then he, laughing, just swallowed all their weapons, whatever they sent. Then he just opened his mouth and would just swallow everything. He was actually the example given is like he was not overly impressed with the material world. It was not very great for him because it mentions he was just yawning all the time. So you only yawn when you're bored. You're not ready to fall asleep or something. It's like whatever he saw, Indra, all the demigods, everything like that, very small, you know, very boring. So he just sits around yawning, you know, but when he yawns, it's like a huge, you know, cavern. So then how insulting, right? It's like somebody shoots some weapons, and then if you acknowledge the relationship, then you will fire some weapons back. You'll do some fighting in that way, you know? But he just opened his mouth and swallowed the weapons, and that was it. And then what next? You know? What else he got? You know? So it was not impressive for him. So the demigods then became worried, you know, fearful of their lives now more seriously. They became afraid that they thought we could protect ourselves. Then when they saw the position of Ritasura after fighting with him, then they understood that they were to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Because then they explained, the material world is created from the Lord. They are they are in control of those material elements. They are doing all that only because of time. They're afraid of time. Time will kill them, so therefore they do their duties nicely. And then, time is afraid of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one should take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And then here they continue. Then very interesting what points they point out, because these are actually what will free them. Free from all material conceptions of existence, and never wonderstruck by anything, the Lord is always jubilant and fully satisfied by His own spiritual perfection. He has no material designations, and therefore He is steady and unattached. That Supreme Lord is the only shelter for everyone. Long as one has material desire, then there's always anxiety. One is not fixed here. The Lord, no material designations, and therefore He is steady and unattached. Is in the Rupa Goswami used the term steadiness in devotional service, or nishtha, when one is seriously trying to remove or grappling with material desires and is trying to overcome, put them in a lower position. That the material desires are not the prominent feature in the life, but they are the secondary or minor, or one deals with them, one recognizes they're there and engages them in the Lord's service. So this is called nishtha. So in that, that's very important. There's no designation. The designations are less. We see that one has to be humble, one has to respect others. One is not expecting respect for himself. So that means there one is freeing oneself from all these designations. One is in that process of practice. So because of that, one becomes steady and unattached. So that is the position. So the Lord is already, just by His own divine nature, He's already like that. So this is what they need to gain. They're attached, so therefore they're unsteady. They're always changing, their moods are changing, the desires are changing, their situations are changing, because of their material desire. But the Lord is not. So therefore the Lord is the shelter. And here's free from all material conceptions of existence, and never wonderstruck by anything. The Lord is always jubilant and fully satisfied. So the demigods, they're wonderstruck by this big demon, Vritasur. So they don't know what to do. But otherwise, the Lord, He is not wonderstruck, because it is all very His inferior energy. So when the devotee also gives up the material conceptions of life, he is not wonderstruck by anything in the world. It means he won't be attracted by anything, and therefore won't be attached. So he'll be steady. He'll be nishtha. It's a very important element here, is that generally when one is in anxiety, something that one desires or something that one lacks, that is what one thinks about. Right? Well, like it starts to rain and you think of how to find something that will keep the rain off. You know, how to, because we're lacking that. We don't have it. If we're inside, it rains outside, we don't even think about it. So we think about it because we find we're lacking. So here are these qualities that are mentioned. The demigods find they are lacking. They are attached, so they're not steady. They have material conceptions, and they're bewildered. Means the main reason they become fearful is they think, oh, here comes another demon who's going to steal our soma ras, who's going to come and, you know, take over nandan kana, and, you know, just all of our facilities for enjoyment and control will be lost. Like, so he's going to take all this. This is what generally happens when the demons show up. The first thing they do is they move in on the heavenly planets, kick out Indra, take over control of the place, and then they enjoy the facilities. Right? That's a natural thing. So when they see this, then they're worried about this. So then they try to, then they become afraid. So here they see these qualities in themselves, because being situated in goodness, in their lifestyle and that. Therefore, they can see these things. They're in knowledge. Someone situated in goodness then sees with knowledge, sees according to scriptures. Like they become afraid and they see according to scripture. So this is an important point, is that they see this. But because the mode of goodness is not pure, therefore we see material desires there. They want to be protected. They want to, you know, besides just their life being protected, then once that is assured, then the next thing will be their positions, and once that's established, then their facilities, you know, like this, that all these, whatever they want to make sure, but they're intelligent because they've approached the Supreme Lord. So Rupa Goswami discusses this in the second chapter of Nectar of Devotion. And this is a very important understanding of devotional service, how simultaneously one can be surrendered to the Lord and have unflinching faith in the Lord as one's protector, one's maintainer, at the same time still harbor material desires within the heart. This is an important point. So now, it's like material desires are bad, so that's bad. And attachment to Krishna, or some attraction to Krishna, some faith in Krishna, that's good. So now, two, how does that work? Because bad means it's bad. It should be thrown out, it should be dealt with very strictly. You know, it should be, you know, like this. The same time as there's that attraction to Krishna. So now, what does one do? Because the Rupa Goswami calls such persons who surrender to the Lord as Mahatmas. We know Mahatma means broad-minded, liberal. You know, they have some standard of, there's some advancement is there. They're on a very unique position. A Mahatma is rare. Sa Mahatma Sadurlabha, they're very rare. So how does this, how do we conciliate this? So if we look at, there's an essential element that holds everything together. And if we understand that, then actually we can hold the whole Vedic culture and the whole process of devotional service together. And basically it comes down to one thing. It's called relationship. Like Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says to Arjuna, because you are my friend, I am today revealing to you the relationship between the living entity and the Lord. So this relationship is most essential. Everything in the whole devotional process and in the Vedic culture is for the purpose of establishing relationship with the Lord. That's what it's for. And then, naturally secondary, that establishes relationships with the devotees and all living entities. Because all the devotees are connected to the Lord, all the living entities are connected to the Lord. So in this way, relationships are established. So the devotee has, because of their surrender, there's a relationship with the Lord. That is the substance. That is, has some meaning. That is the, I say, the artha, or what is to be gained. Because that is what we are looking for, is relationship. Everybody is looking for a relationship, whatever it may be. Or at least minimum, we're looking for a situation which we feel the exchange or relationship will not be bad. You know? Generally, we're looking for relationships that are good, positive. But if we've had so much disturbance, then there's a possibility that I'll at least look for a situation in which it's at least not bad. Right? Like, you know, like you say, someone, how was that? Oh, not bad. You know, it means it's okay. You know, so it's not bad. It's okay. I mean, the Mayavadis work on that principle. Their whole ananda that they talk about is just, there's no problems from the material world. There's nothing positive, but at least there's no material problems. So they say, that's pretty good. That's, you know, Brahmananda, you know, something very wonderful. So the whole thing is relationship. So this relationship has been established with the Lord. So the neophyte devotee Kanista has established that relationship by surrendering to the Lord, by the Lord's devotees. Therefore, this relationship is so special and so wonderful. The relationship between the Lord and his devotee. The Lord is special. Anything in connection with him is special. So therefore, that relationship that is established with the Lord then becomes special. So anyone who has that relationship, even if it's very small, that is considered very special. Very special. Right? Just like even in the material world, let's say you've met a very, you know, great celebrity or something, or, you know, there's some, you know, distant relative, or you went to school with them, or something, a very small connection. One feels very satisfied saying, yes, when I was a kid, you know, we went to the same school. Like that, even though like now they're very big and we're still, you know, sitting in a very minor place, the person doesn't even probably even remember us. So, you know, but just that, people are impressed. So here, the greatest person, if there's the smallest little connection, it becomes something very, very great. So that relationship between the living entity and the Lord is very, very special. So because of that, That is seen as something very, very nice. That is seen as something very great. Therefore, the devotees are considered so special because they have that little connection. So even though the demigods, they have so much material desire, it's like so obvious. But at the same time, they're considered suras, or the demigods, that they are devotees. They're counted in the class of devotees. Asuras means non-devotees. Suras means devotees. So they are materialistic devotees. They have material desires. So they are on the Kanista platform. But because they have that faith, we see it here, right? Then as soon as their weapons and all that didn't work, their own prowess, immediately they have unflinching faith that the Lord can protect them. They didn't just run off and hide in some cave somewhere or, you know, things like that. They just immediately took shelter of the Lord. So even though there was that delay, shelter, because of their material designation, that they're big demigods, and their material desires, so therefore they wanted to see that those are maintained, they have the unflinching faith in the Lord. So that is a quality of someone who takes up devotional service, Rupa Goswami describes. So that means any devotee is very special. So this unflinching faith, of course, attains its perfection when we come to the platform of prema. Because then our activities, complete our activities, our thoughts, you know, our words are perfectly in line with that affection. But otherwise then we have that affection as shown through following the rules and regulations of the Lord. Like the demigods show their affection to the Lord by perfectly following their duties as demigods. They show that. That's one way of showing it. It's a formal way. It may not be, the relationship may not be very deep, but it is a way of showing affection. Is that you do something because you know that is what will please the other person, and then follows very strictly the rules that will attain that. So they're doing that. So that is also the neophyte devotee. And the Madhyama, they follow the sadhana, bhakti, because they know the rules came from Krishna, this pleases Krishna. I will follow that to please Krishna. But the essential point is that relationship with the Lord. Understanding that I am the Lord's servant, therefore I'm doing this. Otherwise, the rules and regulations on their own have no attraction to the Lord. It's that the living entity is trying to do it to please the Lord. So even though it's small, it's very, very, you know, very nice. So no matter if the relationship is not very, how you say, deep or not well known, but just that it is established, it is nice. You have a relationship, you meet somebody, there's something there, some little bit of connection that come to you, or, you know, like a child comes and they have some problem, they come. So even though it's their own problem and all that, because they've come to you, then you see the relationship. You don't think, well, what is this materialistic kid coming, you know, with all his problems to me for? You know, I mean, you know, he's got his own mother and this and that. You can go to them. But it's not, it's that they've come. And they're taking shelter of the advice of the other person. Therefore, and then a relationship is established. And one considers that this is a very bona fide relationship. It may be small. The kid goes away. Like that, you may not see them again for a long time, so the next problem comes along. You know, like the demigods, like that. So on their time, it's a long time in between. Right? You know, Britasura comes and they surrender, or Bali Maharaj, you know, comes and then they surrender, or Moisha Sura comes, they surrender. But fortunately for them, that Krishna's time works on a different platform. The whole universe works within 3/4 of a second to him. So therefore, a lot's happening, and a lot of surrender and exchange is happening in that 3/4 of a second. You know? So this way, to the Lord, constant association and exchange is going on. For the demigods, then they forget for a long time, long, long time. Like that. So in this way, well, the child may not come for, you know, many days or many weeks. But when they have another problem, they come, then you just continue where the relationship was. But you don't see that side. So the Lord, therefore, he calls them Mahatmas. And those who know the Lord's mind call them Mahatmas, because they've come to the Lord, because the relationship is established. So the material desire, material disease, that is secondary. If the faith is strong, faith is not strong, then it may not be, the relationship is not established very greatly. But if one has faith that yes, the Lord does, that's why all these narrations are given. Is the demigods, they ramped into this big demon, right? I mean, we don't, you know, even when we meet, you know, 8 foot, you know, 500 pound, you know, street person in a dark alley, still it's not as bad as Vritrasura. You know, he's definitely a little bit more fearful. And so the demigods, you know, they run into it, but they surrendered. So that relationship that they have, that they establish through that, that is what is very special. So we should appreciate that and understand that the material side is very minor. The holy name is there. The holy name will take care of everything. So we must see how the demigods surrender in all these material situations that they have, that they face. All the different great rishis and munis and all that had problems, they surrendered to the Lord. So that way we in our day-to-day life, we can see we have so many problems, so we should surrender to the Lord. He can take care of it. Then by that, then the relationship is established and we advance in Krishna consciousness. And Krishna appreciates it. It's not that he only appreciates when he gets the pure, unalloyed devotional service. Then that's the most appreciated. Then he gives himself. Right? But up to that point, then the relationship is there. He is interacting. As you surrender, he'll reciprocate. He won't do more. The pure, unalloyed devotee, he'll do more. He'll give more. Because he gives himself. He's the complete cosmic creation. And more. He's beyond. Krishna's created the material world. Krishna's created the spiritual world. That means he's beyond that. He's something else. He's greater than all that put together, plus he's complete in himself. So he gives himself, which is more. Up to that point, he gives just how much he surrendered, he gives that much. But still, that you've gotten anything, you give a little bit of Krishna, and that's something real. That's some substance. Right? You know, a very small diamond is still very valuable. Right? So this is important that we see that this. So we should be inspired that the Lord will protect us. He did in so many ways. Right? It means basically the first six cantos are dealing with the devotees and their different levels of advancement and how in their different situations, material anxieties, they could take shelter of the Lord. Then the seventh canto with Prahlad Maharaj, then we start describing the pure devotee, very seriously. No material desire. He's not approaching, you don't see him approach the Lord. He is not praying to the Lord, oh, protect me. He just thinks of the Lord. If he wants to protect me, not, it's up to him. This body's his, I am his, whatever he wants, it's his. And Krishna is then protecting him on his own. Before that, we see someone has an anxiety, they go to the Lord, and he protects them. He maintains them. So we see half of the Bhagavatam is just showing that. Is those who are not on the platform, the topmost platform, how they behave and how they can strengthen the Lord and perfect their life by interfacing or establishing a relationship with the Lord. Then in the seventh through tenth, then we see very nicely how those who are the pure devotees, how they interface with the Lord. And then, you know, the 11th and 12th, they give lots of philosophical summaries and other aspects in the future of the, you know, Kali Yuga. But the Bhagavatam is giving us these kind of ideas. And it becomes very, very nice. And any questions or comments? Yes.
Isn't it that the unified unity is awestruck or wonderstruck by all these loyalty and this kind of identity?
Yes. Means you understand, you sing it in relationship to the Lord. It says, as many mentioned here, mature conceptions of existence and never wonder struck by anything. Generally, wonder struck means that you it's something very special, but you can't explain it. It has some mystique to it. So when we see the material world and its greatness in relationship to the world, we're not wonder struck by the material nature. Then we may be wonder struck by Krishna. And that is part of the spiritual exchange. I think that's part of the, it's one of the, if that's intensified to a great degree, then this creates being stunned and other things within the spiritual rasas, you know, within the exchange there, in bhavas. So that's not a problem. Wonder struck means is that it's just like Krishna is wonder struck by the affection of his devotees. That's there. We're talking about material. It's just like when we say the Lord has no hands and he has no feet. And that we're not meaning spiritual, we mean material. He has hands, but they're spiritual. He has feet, but they're spiritual. So like that, then is the point. But otherwise, anything in connection with Krishna, that's the point. Anything connected. Connected means relationship. Anything in relationship to Krishna is special. So once we accept that, then we see that this, like by accepting the philosophy, thinking according to the philosophy, accepting the various relationships and culture that is there to connection with Krishna, then that establishes everything. And many times we don't want to follow a particular rule, or we don't want to follow a particular thing, because generally, if we look at it, we're worried something will be lost, or you know, whatever we consider now as valuable in our relationships. Or valuable in the way I think, at least in relationship to myself. Because the living entity has relationship with himself through his own ego, his own mind, the body, like this. But we may worry that something will be lost. So we have to understand is it won't be lost. You're trading a smaller one from a greater, like the child has a rock or something and is chewing on it or sucking on it, and the mother will come, will give some sweet and take away the rock. So the child at first may be very attached. They'll start to cry. No, they pull on their rock and all that. But, you know, after some time and experience, then the child will know that the sweet is better than the rock. Like that. So, but in the beginning, I mean, all we've known is the material world. So we're worried about, you know, some things. We're worried about if I, you know, do certain activities, then I'll be satisfied. Like if I hear Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll be purified. And I'll actually become happy. Right? I mean, generally when I read, you know, previously we read so many things, and that's happy. So now we're being said, you don't bother with those, no need. You take this literature and you read. So there's that anxiety, is that relationships that we already know and what satisfaction we get may be lost. But they're pointing out that higher satisfaction, higher the relationships are established. So that's what it's trying to be. Yes. Question is, how did Katvanga Maharaj become Krishna conscious in a split second? It's just the conviction. It's just by, you know, being qualified and pious, he had great determination and everything. Otherwise, how is the human king is fighting for the demigods? That means their determination is actually greater than the demigods. His qualification. So if he takes that, and instead of focusing that on his kingdom or focusing that on his, you know, duties as a kshatriya, he focuses that on surrendering to the Supreme Lord, it's very great. You know? Therefore, all these good qualities of knowledge and all that, humility and determination and purity, are all very wonderful if they're aimed at Krishna. If they're not aimed at Krishna, okay, it's human. But it's not so special. Because I mean, so many humans are there, and unless they connect themselves with the Lord at some point or another, because of attachment, they're not going to be steady. So they're not going to be humans all the time. At some point, they're going to be non-humans. You know, with just so many bursts because of material desire. So the quality is useful when it's connected to Krishna. You know? Like that. We will point out that, you'll see, it's pointed out that qualities are best done in the mode of goodness. That the Vedic culture gives us. Of the Vedic culture, the Daiva Varnashram, because it connects everything to the Lord, that's the best. So following our duties in Varnashram, in the mode of goodness, for the satisfaction of the Lord, that's perfection of Dharma. It says, because it's connected to the Lord. But if one can't do that, then anything one does, if one connects it to the Lord, that's good, because devotional service is actually the essence. And Varnashram on its own has no real meaning. Right? Varnashram is a medium through which it's done. Right? Like, I can make nice music with the kartals. But the point is just to keep the beat for the kirtan. If I just take kartals and start beating them together at any time and doing things, no one's going to be impressed. They're going to tell me to be quiet. I'm going to say, why? You know, kartals, you know, this and that. They'll just say, listen, it just makes noise. So when it's engaged in the Lord's service, then it has meaning. Like that. You know, now, of this, then one could say, see, the kartals aren't anything special. But now the kartals will be definitely better than getting the lid off of a pot and beating that with some stick or something. It means it'll get the pot lid with the stick will get the work done. The rhythm will be kept in the kirtan. Right? It will be kept. But of the two, the kartals are better. But, you know, if we are of such character that, you know, going into the kitchen and pulling out a few pots and pans and having a kirtan pleases us, you know, like you see sometimes kids do that, and that, it sounds good to them, you know, but it's devotion. Krishna will accept it, because that is the level of one's refinement. And Krishna will accept that, because it's the relationship that counts. Like the small child, they're not so expert in dealings. And not, they just come up to you. They don't say, excuse me, and stand there. They just kind of come up to you and just start talking to you. And it's like, you had so many other things to do. They just butt in and start talking, but you don't mind, because that's them. They're little kids. So Lord doesn't mind if someone has difficulty following Varnashram. They use their own culture in the Lord's service. But we see it's innocent. If the kid comes up and is really proud, then it's like, who wants to deal with him? You know, then it's like, don't mind that you're a kid. You know, you have your... But if they're innocent and they deal very nicely, the relationship is the main thing. That interface is the main. The externals aren't looked at. So like that, the non-Vedic culture not used in Krishna's service is the most disgusting. Vedic culture not used in devotional service is at least human. It's a pious. It's recommended one doesn't fall below that, though it is not anything glorious. Right? Then non-Vedic culture used in devotional service is better than that, because at least you're doing devotional service, so it has some eternal principle. But the best is in the Vedic culture used in devotional service. Right? Like that. That's the whole point. So that's where you see at one point the Vedic culture is above, at one point it's below the Western, or anything modern or concocted or like that. So that is where it becomes difficult to understand, because it'll be both glorified and thrown out. It means Bhagavatam is to establish Dharma, but the first thing it says is we throw out Dharma. That's Kaitava Dharma. Any mentally concocted, it means all the dogs, you know, with their tails crossing the Ganga, you know, we're not catching them. All of them, you know, each and every one, we're rejecting. We're only going to take shelter in the Lord's boat that will get us in. Like that. So the Dharma is defined in that which is connected with the Supreme Lord for the Lord's satisfaction. In other words, it's the same definition as devotional service. Right? Activities favorable to the Lord, performed following the footsteps of previous acharyas. That is devotional service. That is Dharma. Right. Does that make sense? What time is it? Yes, ma'am. What time is it?
9:00.
Okay, last point.
While chanting the holy name, one of the offenses is maintaining material attachments. So does it mean because we have material attachments, we also have offenses?
Yes, means the question is one of the offenses to the holy name is to maintain material attachments. So does that mean if we're having material desire, we commit an offense? That is called the offensive stage of chanting, where the attachments are there and we're not really recognizing them or addressing them. Like that, where we make an actual plan to address the material desires. So it's called offensive. But it's the offensive stage of chanting, but it's still purifying. There's just like Prabhupada gives the example of we drink too much milk, so we get an upset stomach. So to cure that, then we take yogurt, which is still milk. So we chant Hare Krishna, from having material desire, that commits offense. But the only way to get rid of that offense is by chanting Hare Krishna. So therefore, with determination, we continue chanting that unflinching faith. But it is recommended that one come to the understanding of our material desires. One tries to identify them and uproot them. That's why so much knowledge is given. Means the devotional process, the purpose of knowledge is to identify our attachments to the material world and give them up. So when we start to seriously address that, where that is our main thing is removing those desires and fixing our mind very much on Krishna, it's not just like happening, you know, then that is called clearing stage. Material desires are there, but they're being blown away, like a storm blows away leaves, like that. So then it's very rapid. That's why the Madhyama platform is considered very advanced. It means Kanista is already a Mahatma. And the Madhyama is then considered on the advanced platform, because the desires, they're still there, but they're going away so quickly. Like that. I mean, you have to get rid of desires that have been there since time immemorial. So there's quite a few. So in that stage, you're going away very, very fast. Very fast. The main difficulty, the main thing that is recognizing that we have them and the willingness to deal with them. That's actually. Right? I mean, it's just like if you want to correct anyone or reform them, that's the first thing is that they have to recognize that they have a problem, isn't it? Right? That's the first thing you have to do. Then you can deal with it. Otherwise, you can't deal. Like that. So there's many little things you can do to make them at ease and make them more peaceful. Like that, and kind of like get away from the situations that create their problems. But they can only really become changed when they recognize the problems. So the devotional process is to create that. Yeah. It's like that. It's like, here we just read this story. Okay, demigods, you know, okay, yeah, they fight with Vitasura and then they surrender to Krishna. Yeah, I think that's, you know, okay. And then they go on and then, you know, then Indra came. Okay, I've heard that story. But the point is that, what about us? How many times do we, as such a dangerous situation comes up, we think, I will correct the situation. Then when it doesn't work, then we think, now what to do? Right? So here's what we're supposed to do. Like that. There are those who first thing surrender to the Lord, and then there's those who second they surrender to the Lord. But in any case, the point is one should surrender to the Lord. Like that. That's the point. So then we gain, this is something I can use in my life. You know, I had this happen all the time. Like that. Does that make sense?
Just by depending on Krishna.
Yeah. Depending on Krishna, associating with the devotees, chanting. These main principles of devotional service, we should see them very nicely. Our chanting, our hearing Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, worshipping the Lord, being in the Lord's place. These main things we concentrate on, and these things we'll be taken care of. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Grantarāj śrīmān bhāgavatam ki, samaritā bhaktavinda ki, chāyamitāyoga dhīnā ki,